Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words that are about to be spoken and are listening to them, may they inspire and have meaning for us today. Amen. A while back, I was visiting some friends, about a year or so ago, I recall, and it happens to be one of my atheist friends. And the subject of faith came up. And what is faith? What is this stuff about faith-based initiatives and this faith and that faith? We have, you know, Christian faith, Protestant faith, Catholic faith, Islamic faith. What is this faith? So my endeavor was to look into it. I had my own understandings, and so I figured I'd do a little work on it. Now, I'm going to speak with two things. Two of my sources is Paul Tillich, 20th century theologian who you've probably heard of, and Marcus Borg, a writer today, good writer. So, and my concern for faith is pretty well spoken in the beginning of Tillich's book on, which is called The Dynamics of Faith. And he says there is hardly a word in the religious language, both theological and popular, which is subjected to more misunderstanding, distortions, and questionable definitions than the word faith. So I'm starting there. Paul Tillich says, faith is a state of being ultimately concerned. Faith is a centered act of the personal self. Our personal self includes our rational, conscious self, our non-rational, unconscious self. It includes our emotions, our intellect, and our spirit. Faith involves the totality of the personal self. Now, in the beginning, when we ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as depicted in our biblical creation myth, we became aware, conscious of our nakedness. We became aware of our finitude, our limited nature. We became aware that we will die. With this awareness also came the awareness of the alternative. If we can think of the finite, our limitedness, we can think of that which is unlimited, the infinite, the eternal, because it can be reflected on our finite conditional existence. Then we can imagine more than the finite. We can conceive of the infinite unconditional nature of the eternal, but we cannot grasp it. It is beyond us. The eternal must grasp us. The infinite cannot take into itself the infinite. The finite cannot take into itself the infinite. The temporal cannot embrace the eternal. Only the infinite, the eternal, can embrace and receive into itself all things finite and conditional. From the beginning, we have imagined the eternal, that which is beyond us and that which is unattainable by our own power. These yearnings for the infinite eternal realm of existence is the seed of faith. We call this our hope. For hope precedes faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, as we read in Hebrews. Human potentialities are powers that drive towards actualization. Man is driven towards faith by his awareness of the infinite to which he belongs, but which he does not own like a possession. From Paul Tillich. This yearning for more is our passion for the eternal of which we belong. It is an existential element. It is what we are. It is our restlessness of the heart on our journey through life. We are not without faith. We are not without faith. Even all possess this capability. The Hebrew Bible makes very clear what faith was for the pious Jew. It is the God of justice and righteousness who gives the commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Faith as ultimate concern implies relationship. There is the concerned one and the concern, or the object of our concern. Only if our concern is of an ultimate nature can there be a promise of ultimate fulfillment. But our faith has not been without distortion. We have many concerns in all areas of life, for food, shelter, social community, politics, cultural life, and our religious life. These are all legitimate concerns, but they are finite concerns. They are transitory. Our distortion of faith comes when we take a legitimate, finite concern and elevate them to the position of ultimacy. Many have elevated to ultimacy nation. Of course, we have great examples of that in history. Nazi Germany, where the nation was ultimate. Or we've raised success and economic power to the position of ultimacy, which it seems to be so prevalent in our society today, that what is most important is your position in this life here. Now, with faith, there is risk. What if what we elevate to ultimacy is not unconditional, but conditional, finite, and not infinite, and does not have the power of fulfillment? So with risk, with faith, there is doubt. There must be doubt. Without doubt, there is certainty, which means there is no faith. So the opposite of faith is not doubt. And there is courage, the power to take that risk in the presence of doubt. What are the distortions of faith? Faith as an act of knowledge that has a low degree of evidence is a distortion. Believing in probable things is a distortion of faith. As belief has been a result of historical, this is belief. Two words that seem to be interchangeable today is faith and belief. So faith as an act of knowledge of things with a low degree of evidence is a distortion. Faith as belief has been a result of historical battles over creeds and dogmas. We've encouraged this. We fought and put to ultimacy our symbols of what our faith is and fought over them as opposed to keeping what is ultimate in our hearts. Who has the correct belief? The process of knowing is infinite. It never ends except in the state of knowledge of the whole. But such knowledge transcends infinity, every finite mind. Transcends infinitely every finite mind and can be ascribed only to God. Faith as an act of will, which is another distortion of faith. This presupposes that faith is an act of knowledge with limited evidence, and the lack of knowledge is made up by an act of will. We can willfully embrace and act on our faith, but we cannot will into existence our faith. Faith also is an emotion. This is also a distortion which has been convenient, especially for our modern age. Faith as emotion is another distortion of faith. Although faith as ultimate concern of the centered self manifests itself in the emotional aspects of our lives, faith as emotion has been welcome in both the religious community and the secular community because it can easily be dismissed simply as emotionalism. Faith is expressed through the language of symbols, our scriptural stories and myths, our creeds and confessions, our art and music point us towards the eternal, toward God. Demythologizing of our stories enables us to go behind the literalism to the story and its underlining meaning. Another distortion of faith is when we take our symbols and elevate them to ultimacy. When we use our creeds and confessions, our doctrines and dogmas, to bash others, we are giving them ultimacy. We are saying that they are more important than to which these symbols point. This, in turn, is what leads to literalism, fundamentalism. That is my little section on Tillich's, from reading Tillich and what I got from his understanding of faith and what it is not. And then on to Marcus Borg in his book, The Heart of Christianity. He speaks of faith as a way of the heart. The early Christians were considered the people of the way. He speaks of four ways of seeing faith: as assensus or assent, fiducia or trust, fidelitas or fidelity, and visio, or which is vision. Faith as assent is close to what we consider faith as belief. And it has been distorted to mean believing that there is a God, believing that the Bible is the revelation of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for our sins. In other words, do you believe the right claims about God? Again, giving ultimacy to that which points to the reality of the divine, the more God. Belief is, in the modern understanding, is a matter of the head. It is understood as opinion that certain things are true, factual, with little evidence that is that it is so. This way of thinking has developed since the Enlightenment, since the birth of modern science and the scientific way of knowing. Since its development, truth has been identified with factuality. So everything that was taken for granted was called into question: Christian teaching, the Bible, etc. With this way of thinking, doubt became threatening to belief, therefore threatening to faith. One who doubts is without faith. This is a distortion for without doubt there cannot be faith, and then there would be certainty, which again means there is no faith. Is believing the right things as factual what God requires of us? Believing the right things, as in fundamentalism, as a matter of the head, is not transformational, for transformation takes place in the centered self, in the heart. Faith as trust is not trusting that you believe the right things, but that the trust that you trust God. God, that which we cannot grasp, that can only grasp us. A good metaphor for this is that God is like the ocean. If you are in the ocean and are anxious and tense, you will sink. But if you are relaxed, without fear, you trust and you will float. Some biblical metaphors for God as rock and mighty fortress speaks to this trust in God. God, who is our support, our foundation, our ground of being, which is a term Tillich uses for God. We can see God as being the ground of all being. Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet God feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Do not worry, do not be anxious. You of little faith, with faith as trust, the opposite of faith is anxiety. Growth in faith as trust cast out anxiety, and faith as trust has great transforming power. Now faith as fidelity, as in human relations, means loyalty, allegiance, and commitment to self of the deepest level, the commitment of the heart. The opposite of faith is fidelity is adultery. Adultery is used in the Bible most often not in reference to sexual behavior, but in reference to the people, an adulterous nation, as they stray from God. The opposite of faith is fidelity is also idolatry, as in giving our loyalty to something else. Again, career, success, or nation, or our own being, instead of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Faith as fidelity is loving God and loving your neighbor and being faithful above all to these two great commandments. Relationships. Placing attention to your relationship to God, as in human relationships, and not just straying from them, is faith as fidelity. We do this in worship, prayer, and practice in life of compassion and justice. Now, faith as vision is a way of seeing, how we see the whole of what is How we see the whole is what affects how we respond to life. There are three ways of seeing the whole, and each goes with a particular way of responding to life. We can see the whole of life as hostile and threatening. Death gets us in the end. Science tells us that even the Earth and the solar system will have an end. Threats of accidents, disease, violence, poverty are reason for fear. How does one respond to life when one sees it as threatening? Defensively. We build security systems for self-protection. In terms of religion, God is out to get us unless we offer the right sacrifice, act in the right way, and believe the right things. This is so we can be spared from hell. This is also a distortion. We can see the world as indifferent. There is no concern for any meaning in the universe. The world may be seen as magnificent and beautiful, but our only concern is for ourselves and those who we care for. It seems to be the most prevalent attitude today. Then there is the seeing the world as life-giving and nourishing. It has brought everything into existence and sustains life. This is seeing life as gracious. God sends rain upon the just and the unjust alike. Our response to seeing the world as life-affirming leads to self-forgetfulness and the ability to love and be present in the moment. A nourishing mother is a mother we can love. How we see reality profoundly affects how we experience and live our lives. Faith as having vision is seeing reality as gracious. Its opposite is seeing life as threatening and hostile and indifferent. A gracious life leads to radical trust. Going back to faith as present, as assent, believing, has its place and meaning. We do affirm the reality of God. Christian faith affirms the centrality of Jesus as the decisive disclosure of God and affirms the Bible as containing our story of faith. We cannot easily give our hearts to something that our mind rejects. Our creeds must be seen as metaphors and symbols as to where our heart is and cannot be taken literally, factually, without them losing their meaning. To believe is to beloved. It is to give our heart to give our whole self to. Faith is a matter of the heart. Amen.